Three Peeps in a Podcast. All right, so we're going to try this out. This is a live cast. Myself and Matt Withers, who I met on Radio Bristol with Jeff on Sound of the City. Matt, thanks for coming on. What were your immediate thoughts? I mean, I put on Twitter last night, the life of a Bristol City fan, the massive highs of going to London and getting another 3 points on the road, a few drinks afterwards, feeling buoyant. First minute, go a goal up. You think we're world beaters, we're third in the league and everything's rosy, and then it all goes to shit, quite frankly. So where's your head at?
Yeah, all of the above, mate. Like you, I mean, I was at Loftus Road. I thought we were excellent. Yes, we had to defend, but you know, again, part of the job, isn't it? So, but last night you couldn't have asked for a better start, and I thought our intensity, press, in the first sort of 10-15 minutes was excellent. And then their equaliser and the kind of the manner of it really just took the wind out of themselves, and from that point on we were second best. And you know, he made the changes that he did in the second half. I'm not sure, and well, many fans would have Wyman in, Eliasson playing his wing backs, but you know, we huffed and puffed in and had a few chances, you know, for my
What substitution would you have made at that point? I would have
kept Silva on, because I thought Silva was still looking you know, fairly dangerous. I probably would have brought Wyman off, and brought Wells on. Move Pato out to the right hand side, and I would have taken off Eliasson and brought on Callum O'Dowda, because I thought Nick had a poor game last night. There's a lot been made on the two midfielders, Corey and Han Noah, and I don't think either were great from an attacking point of view. But then I don't necessarily think that's their game.
But for me, there seems to be a lack of urgency.
Yeah.
Of going forward, you know, there was Corey Smith had the ball, and the difference for me between what we've got and the Premier League team is that quick thinking. So you see the pass, make the pass, not dawdle and take
even extra. Last night though, Patch, you had Birmingham, the way they transitioned from back to front was so much quicker than us. I haven't seen any stats, but I would guarantee that the City player with the most touches last night was Ashley Williams.
Probably.
You know, it seemed that when, certainly with Corey, when Corey got the ball, you know, he would look for the pass, and it, exactly like you said, it didn't come and seemed to be slow. But I'm not to be overcritical, really, of Corey and Han Noah. I actually felt that the wide men, in both Andy Wyman and Nick Eliasson, hit a little bit. I think they were running straight lines. They didn't make enough angles, and so the pass was fairly easily closed down. So I think it made Corey and Han Noah look, you know, more ineffective than they actually could have been, but neither were great. And I don't, as I said, I don't think that's their game. I don't think we've got a midfielder currently that can spot that kind of pass in the way that Marlon Pack used to do.
I guess the only person that stands out is Casey Palmer, who has got that ability, but obviously doesn't do it as frequently and as often as you like. He gets a run in the team and then he sort of drifts a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you saw what Lee said about Casey after the game.
Yeah, he had chest pains or something, didn't he?
Yeah, so you kind of think, you know, is there a bit of an underlying issue with him? I always think, I mean, I'm a massive Casey Palmer fan. I think he's yet to settle, certainly since Bennett has gone away injured. But I think that he's the sort of player you should build, not necessarily your team around, but you should build the way you want to set up around. But he comes into games with 20-30 minutes to go when we're up against it and tries to do, you know, the impossible at times, gets caught out, and so, you know, looks like he's made bad decisions again. So I'd like to, you know, if Henriksen can, if it's Henriksen, the midfielder, if he can get some sort of fitness, you know, I think there's every chance he may very well start on Wednesday.
I think someone was saying after the, well, it might have even been Ian saying about the fact that he wasn't 100% fit, but he was the one I thought was going to come on for Masengo.
Yeah.
And if he's fit enough to be on the bench, my dad always said, if he's fit enough to be on the bench, he's fit enough to start.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the old saying, isn't it? But I mean, I was surprised. I thought And again, it shows I'm not looking at their name spellings probably, but the Leicester lad, Benkovic, whatever his name was, came on and looked a player. He looked a very good player. Obviously, should have done better with their third goal, but then so should Ashley Williams.
Tried to just sort of push him off the ball, didn't he, and failed.
And again, someone like Jukovic, who's got to be one of the most physically strong centre-forwards in the Championship, it was a bad decision. But I was surprised he moved to three like he did.
Yeah, no, I was. I was. I was thinking, Vyman off, Wells on, swap Pato and Wells so that Wells is further forward. Patterson's more in, you know, like the inside right position. Yeah. And then I would have just gone straight Masengo for Henriksen and pushed him on a little bit, basically, because you had Masengo and Smith too deep. We're 2-1 down. Obviously at home you like to see more attacking football, but let's just go through the goals quickly. Obviously first goal, defensive error from Birmingham, let Pato in, and to be honest, he still had a fair bit to do. Almost missed.
Yeah, exactly. Well, exactly that. I mean, you could say he was precision, wasn't it? But I actually felt with the run, his anticipation, because when Roberts kind of picked the ball up or got the ball, Pato was quite a way behind. It wasn't like he was, you know, right on the shoulder or whatever. So he really did well to sort of race in, you know, rounded camp and tucked it away. But like you said, I mean, I'm sure he probably took a bit more of the post off than he would have really liked. But and then, you know, it was a great start. And I thought, as I say, that the intensity that we showed in those first 10, 15 minutes without creating another clear-cut chance, I actually thought it looked really good. And I think after the game, Pato kind of said, they almost felt in that first opening period as if it could be a bit of an easy game.
It was one of those ones where, you know, we hardly ever get a first-minute goal, but the first 5-10 minutes always seems to be our window to score. And we go at it, and that's the way we start most games, is going at it, high press, trying to get them whilst they are cold almost. And if we don't score in that first 10 minutes, then you can more or less guarantee it's going to be 0-0 at half time, because we very often look like conceded. And then Ashley Williams saved one on the line that should have gone in, and that should have been a goal. And then it was just after that that there was a shot from deep. Bentley saved it, and it just sort of fell straight to Hogan's feet, and he tapped it in, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Ashley Williams sort of defensive clearance that he did, or the saving sort of challenge, it came from a ball across, which I think both Baker and Jack Hunt missed, or Jack Hunt sort of screwed it back the same way. Ashley Williams does that so many times. His positional sense for those sort of shots coming in or challenges is excellent.
But how important do you think Ashley Williams is to us at the moment? I think he's one of the most important players.
Well, I mean, I think I said on Jeff's show last week, for me, him and Nathan Baker were the first sort of two names on the sheet. I would say last night we got caught for pace. But then I also think, you know, Jack Hunt had a bit of a torrid time down his side. I think for their opening goal, Lee was disappointed with Jay's sort of contribution. I think He sort of was a bit too side on and went in for a sort of challenge with his left foot when really he should have been squaring and sort of faced him up. So, you know, I don't blame Dan Bentley. A few people sort of, I sort of saying they thought Bentley should have done well. But if you look, Hogan was actually right in front of the shot. And I don't think
Skewed Bentley his view
see
a bit.
It. Yeah, didn't even see it. And as you said, it dropped to him, and, you know, he couldn't do anything but score really from there.
The second goal, was it the second goal that Silva should have got the tackle in, and then that's what caused the goal?
Well, I think we lost the ball. I think we lost the ball further up the pitch. Again, I think Jack Hunt, a ball came down, I think, on the right-hand side, and Jack Hunt, his clearance wasn't the greatest. And then they kind of attacked. And again, another kind of cross in. Yeah, Jay, it was on John on his side. I don't know if it was Jukovic or Hogan would have got their head to the ball in front of Bentley. It doesn't look necessarily like Dan called for it. If he did, Andy Wyman didn't seem to hear him. But I mean,
if he did, he didn't call out enough, because need for Wyman to get his head on it, to be honest.
And the thing was, Patch, it was a dreadful header. I mean, it was a nothing. Yeah. it was almost like if he was attacking that end, you'd be saying what a great flicked header it was. You just couldn't, I couldn't understand how defensively he thought that, you know, what he did was, you know, was the right thing to do. But
but even at 2-1 down, I was still confident that, right, we'll bring Wells on second half. He'd be bang up for it. I was saying to my mate next to me, we're going to win 4-2. Yeah. But, you know, then I should have remembered that we were playing at home and not away.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think, I thought, again, I'm not, you know, Famara obviously had the chance he had. I think, as is typical with Famara, he seems to do the hard part well and then the next bit of it not so well. But I'm not being critical there because I thought he worked his socks off again with very little decent delivery into him. But I thought he was very isolated.
Absolutely, yeah. Let's just talk a bit more about, let's focus on some positives for a minute. Let's talk about Famara and the compare him to where he is now to where he was this time last year. For me, he has just come on so much. You know, it used to be if he took on a player, that it was like a massive cheer and everyone almost like sarcastic cheers. But but now he is he's one of our most important players, other than, as we said, Ashley Williams at the back.
Yeah.
For me, he's our best defender at corners. He is an attacking threat in aerially, and now he's starting to hold the ball up and not. It doesn't always bounce off him, although it did, I think, once or twice last night. But he almost is got more confidence now to take on a man. And I think at one point he nutmegged someone and got chopped down.
Yeah, Patrick, exactly what I was going to say. Confidence. He is a completely different player. I mean, he's unrecognisable from the player that was there last year. And I think he was probably on a decent run before his ban against Birmingham. You know, he seems to have found, exactly as you were saying there, that the attacking sort of threat that he gives now is more than it was. Yes, his finishing could still improve. I think his hold-up play has got better sort of tenfold. But again, it's something you can clearly see he's working on. But you hit the nail on the head. Defensively, I think without him in the team, we're going to suffer more, you know, giving away possession and from corners, you know, I think there's a real risk. He must win most of those aerial battles when the ball comes in the box for a corner. I absolutely agree completely. You know, Mackie Wells, I think, is a brilliant signing, but not in terms of at the expense of Pham. I think you need to play him alongside him. And the other one for me, Patrick, I don't know what you feel, is Pato. You know, I like Jamie when he first came in. I'll be honest to say, I have been critical of him. I think that he would get down too easy in a challenge. He drifted in and out of games. Since he's come back from Derby, I think he has played, you know, up there with some of the best football he's played for City.
Absolutely, yeah. No, I was quite upset when he left and when Marlon left. But more so Pato, because I thought Marlon is, you know, although he was a great player for us, I wasn't particularly a fan of the quarterback role that he seemed to assume. And I thought it was just, you know, Adam Webster at the time, his distribution was as good as Marlon Pack. So why can he just do those passes? Yeah. But yeah, for me, Patterson, I was upset about, and he probably was drifting a little bit, but still a great squad player. But yeah, you're right. He's come back from Derby County and he has firing on all cylinders. He's got three goals, a couple of assists. He's keeping he basically last night kept the Championship Player of the Month for January out of the team.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, I mean, it's an interesting one with Naki Wells. And you know, like he was at Loftus Road in Reading before that. I wouldn't have changed the winning team last night, despite, you know, it's a home game. We want to be more attacking. But I felt that on the back of the clean sheets and the wins, you know, I wouldn't have changed it. In hindsight, yeah, obviously it didn't work out.
I absolutely expect Wells
to come in, you know, Wednesday. Yeah, exactly. It would, you know, it looks rosy,
didn't
it?
No one would have said, oh, yeah, we should have changed the team. Obviously, time goes on, and then people are saying, well, Wells should have started because he was Championship Player of the Month and is on a high and things like that. But what message does it give to the players if you play that well away at QPR and then drop? But, you know, there will be people listening to this saying, it's a home game, we should be in a more attacking formation with our two best strikers up front.
Yeah, and I absolutely get that. I think it's a fair challenge, isn't it? Especially with the way that, you know, Wales has kind of come in, with big reputation, a lot of money. But, you know, so for me, I wouldn't change it. I think it will be a very different setup on Wednesday. Because I think
now he realises that we're just... the license to change.
Yeah, of course he has. But I think he also realises that, you know, our home form, and in fact, he said it, I was interviewed by Points West last night before the game, and they showed a clip.
Oh, yeah, how did that go?
No, it's all right, yeah. It was with Dale as well, but
oh, yeah.
And a little lad, Ben Mead, who's a son of a mate of mine. But
Ben Mead, yeah. He played for Burnley, didn't he?
Yeah, it's not that one. Ben Mead, yeah, that is, yeah, that is Mead. But yeah, I mean, I Lee sort of said before the game on his interview with them that, you know, our away form is great, and if we want to be serious playoff, you know, contenders and finish there, then we've got to improve our home form, and then we put in a performance like that for a lot of the game, and it just leads to the fans that aren't, you know, on Johnson's side to questioning in from a tactical point of view and everything else. And again, I get that. You know, yes, we have spent a lot of money. Nothing's going to change between now and the end of the season, so you've got to see what happens. I think there's an awful lot that goes on behind the scenes that we don't know. You know, the people that would have been questioning Casey Palmer not being involved, of which I was one, I didn't know what had gone on in terms of his chest pain. So, you know, there are things that go on that we don't know about. But that said, I think you look at the sale of Marlon Pack, and yes, you know, early days, Naj looked a player. Han Noah looked a player, and I think both are, but Han is obviously tired and needs to build up physically. Adam isn't anywhere near the player that we saw in those first couple of games.
I think Marlon Pack is missed.
You know, yeah. Do you
think that's anything to do with what someone said on the call in last night, that attacking, forward-thinking player has been coached out of them?
Possibly. I don't think Corey has ever been that sort of midfielder. You know, he's always a ball winner. Play it to Marlon to do something with it in the past. I think Han Noah is just his inexperience and age more than anything. I don't think he would coach out an attacking sort of play. But I think the way Lee likes to play, you know, you've got players of the ilk of Liam Walsh and Joe Morrell, who, for me, when both have played, haven't let us down, but haven't then been given the run in the team that would have seen them, you know, really us seeing whether are they going to be at the level they need to be in the Championship. Liam Walsh, and I was listening to the gas, having a gas phone in, and Liam Walsh was cited by one of the Rovers players, Rovers fans, is tearing him apart. You know, a couple of games they've played, he's been their best player.
And is that because he's developed, but is that because the manager of Coventry has allowed him freedom to express himself going forward?
Yeah, it could be Patch, could be that, could be that he's at a level where his game is at the moment, you know. But I said, whenever Liam or Joe Morrell have come in, I've liked what they've tried to do. They've always been forward-thinking. I think Lee likes, though, to have the players disciplined defensively, and then we move on from there. You know, I think, again, going back to last night, for me, you know, I think Nicolaisen is class, and he would absolutely be in my team. But, you know, he does show that inconsistency in performance still. And last night, I thought he hid. Same with Andy Wyman. And I don't mean that in a...
They kept swapping, didn't they?
I don't mean that he hid in terms of, you know, he lost his bottle or anything like that. I just mean, I think he was running straight lines and the angles weren't there. So it just made the pass very, very difficult. But exactly like you said earlier on, we seem to then prefer to go backwards and sideways. And some, you know, what I think Jimbo, I think, phoned in last night and said, you know, it was crab football. We were playing sideways again. Sort of stuff we were doing really at the back end of last season, and I thought we got out of, you know.
I'm Johnson in. I have been even when we were on that long run of defeats. I just thought to myself, you know, he is a fan, after all, and he's trying to do his best for the club. He's still a young manager, still improving, all that stuff. And who else is there out there that's going to come in and take up the reins at the moment? So, you know, get behind the manager has always been my message. But in terms of the way we've been playing for the last few years now at home, with a few asides of the Man United home game, the West Brom home game that all sort of springs to mind, where, you know, whatever it's been, either the manager dictating the way we played or they've just all been up for it and thought, right, we're going to go for this. It makes a difference when everyone's up for it at the same time. The type of player that Lee Johnson was, as a almost like a pass it sideways, not really a driving midfielder, is that now that reflected the way that we have been playing at home?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a Lee Johnson fan, and I was a Lee Johnson fan as a player. I thought a lot of what he did, you know, went unnoticed. But you're right, he wasn't that driving box to box midfielder. I think. It's not really a player we've had probably since Marvin Elliott left. I mean, you know, Marlon certainly wasn't that sort of player. Like you said, he was a quarterback sort of role. But I think we missed that. I don't know whether Tyreek Bakerson is going to be ready next season or not. But, you know, we seem to have a lot of similar types of players. And that's kind of why I'm hoping that Henriksen from Hull, you know, he seems quite a big lad. I think he's played both central sort of defensive midfield, but also an attacking midfield. So
well, that's what we need, isn't it? The attacking midfield rather than the defensive midfield. Because you could put Naj, Masengo, Walsh and Morel all in a similar box, couldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, I think but they all... I mean, for me, Corey and Hannah and Adam probably... is considered more of an attacking midfielder of those three, but I don't see it so much, or I'm not seeing it as much at the moment. So I think we've got probably five similar players, but none of them are that physical presence as well. So you do easily get knocked off the ball. And obviously part of why Lee went to the three that he did last night was to try and put a bit more through the middle. And it didn't really change anything. I think you're always going to, late in games at home, you'd expect to have some pressure and chances just because the crowd get up. And again, I thought the crowd were excellent last night. Yes, you're still going to get fans that, you know, see the negatives and stuff, but, you know, they still kept with the team until really the third goal went in, and obviously then lots of people left because they knew it was game over. But we're struggling. I don't know why it is at home, and maybe even away, you know, I've said it before, we're in sixth position and the league very rarely lies, you know, and certainly not at the end of the season. But actually, I don't think we're playing like a top six side. And certainly last night, And I think had we gone third last night, you know, you would have questioned, really, you know, are we the one of the top three teams from a football point of view? And you know, points are what get you to where it gets you, but... You know, having seen West Brom against us away, having seen Leeds at home against us, having seen Brentford home and away against us, having seen Fulham, you know, even away at Fulham, and it was a great performance. But from a football point of view, we're definitely not the top three or four teams from playing football, and probably not top six from playing football.
Yeah. So let's look forward then. Any changes that you would like to see over the sort of the next 3-6 months? Obviously, we can't get any more players in. I don't know if we can do any more loans, but let's just pretend we can. We spoke on the radio about bringing in an attacking coach. Someone mentioned that. I don't know whether that's something that we've got. Obviously, McAllister is a defender. I think Holden was a sort of defensive midfielder.
Defensive midfielder, yeah.
And then Lee Johnson, similar. That's got to be something to consider. I don't know if there's anyone working on that.
I think it's a great shame. I think I think Johnson's very much a student of the game, and that's part of the reason why I like him as well. You know, yes, his love of the club clearly wants to do well, but I think he also explores lots of things, tries lots of things. But yeah, I think having a specialist striking coach would absolutely help.
Even Cissé as well. So Cissé's
there, midfielder. Yeah,
again, never scored many goals in his career.
that defensive type midfielder. And maybe, you know, maybe that does echo why we're seeing what we're seeing on the pitch. You know, we are more defensively sound than when we're attacking. I think the games where we have scored a few goals, you know, Huddersfield, Luton, we've scored goals at the right time, but against teams that were also struggling. So I think that flattered a little bit. And then, you know, I don't want to be negative. You know, I think we are all fans, but you've got to see how it is.
Yeah, you're not, after a defeat like that, where you're up for it and you're buoyant. I was like, you know, once depressed a bit is a bit too far, but really, I was gutted at the end of the game yesterday. I'd sort of sat in my seat and thought.
Rob said on Twitter last night or this morning just how bad it makes you feel, and it just because it was there, and I was chatting to Damien from Radio Bristol and Points West before the game, and he was sort of saying, you know, what do you think? And I said to him, I said, I'm not tempting fate, but I don't think we'll win, because this season especially, but it was also a bit of a regular thing with Lee's team. When we've got something to play for, you know, and that was a third position last night, we just seem to blow it. And that's exactly what we did last night.
That brings me on to my next point. So we spoke about maybe getting an attacking coach. I don't know if there's a sports psychologist down there, but it seems to be almost like a bit of a mental block mentality, nervousness of playing at home in front of a home crowd. We go on these streaks at the moment. Obviously, we were on a winning streak, which is obviously good for confidence, but we also get stuck in a rut, and we could now potentially go on a run of losing games. There used to be a sports psychologist down there. I don't know if that's something that they've got at the moment.
Yeah, I don't know is the truth. I think they probably have, again, because I think that it's the sort of thing that Lee would look at. You know, I'm sure they have, you know, hypnotherapy and God knows what down there, but... I mean, you know, that's his nickname he's got, isn't it, Streaky Johnson? and, you know, like I say, you know, I've got to, my opinion's no different, no better than the fan that wants Lee Johnson out. You know, it's about opinions, but I think tactically, last night Lee did get it wrong, you know, and it's hindsight, wonderful thing and all that. But, you know, I think the squad of players we've got, we should be achieving where we are as a minimum from a sixth place finish. Yep. We've just spent the most in the January transfer window. So he's getting the back in. And again, for all those fans that question Steve Lansdowne, you know, take a look in the mirror for one. You know, anybody that questions Steve Lansdowne need to get some sort of health check, because the bloke has done wonders for our club. And maybe that's the millennials who've not gone through the hard times that we've gone through.
They'd soon be worried if he suddenly said, "I'm walking away."
Yeah, you know, have a look round you know, at the likes of Loftus Road and Griffin Park, and you know, I know Brentford are moving to a different stadium, but you know, that bloke's done miracles for the club and for the city. So you know, they need to look at it. But I also think if we don't finish top six, I think there will be a decision to be made in the summer, because Lee's had 4 years now. He's had all those transfer windows. You know, there's a lot of things going on and being developed behind the scenes. So I think top six is absolutely a minimum. And I think Lee expects that himself.
It's that year-on-year progression for the last 5 years we were banging on about.
Exactly.
Once it starts going in the wrong direction, then, you know, quite rightly, I think even the big Johnson supporters could not, you know, question if a decision was made. But I know that there's that sustainable approach and the fact that Lansdowne wants that stability. I think it would take a fair bit. If you know, even if you finish seventh, that's still year on year.
Yeah, it is. You're right.
He wants Premier League football.
Yeah, I would be surprised if we don't finish top six. I think there would be every likelihood of a change being made. I mean, the other thing I want to say, Patch, is I don't want to be disrespectful to Birmingham in any way last night, because I thought they were excellent. You know, having conceded a goal like they did, I thought their energy, the young lad, Bellingham looks a hell of a player.
Oh my God, a couple of touches where you thought he's going to definitely be in the Premier League next year or year after.
Yeah, I mean, I've said, and I still believe it, I think Han Noah will go to the very top, but you looked at the physicality between those two last night. I thought their two wide players were excellent. Hogan actually scored a goal, which is what he's in the team for, but didn't look anywhere near the player that I saw when he was at Brentford and he came down here. Jukovic always causes a problem. But it was their transition, as I said at the start of this, from back to front, they moved the ball so much quicker. And not, you know, it wasn't long diagonals or anything like that. It was through the thirds. And I thought they were excellent. You know, they got a good win against Forest last week. You know, they've had some real struggles this season. Pep Clotier, or whatever his name is, has had to play youngsters. And I thought they were excellent. And they were worthy of the win. You know, I think anybody that thinks differently again didn't watch the game. I wouldn't want to be disrespectful to them. It's a City podcast, but reflecting on the game, you know, they're a side as Reading are that, you know, have struggled this season. But I was impressed with Reading up at the Mad Stand. I thought both of those teams, if they keep those squads of players together, they're not going to struggle next season and becomes an even harder league. It just doesn't get any easier, the Championship, does it? So
absolutely,
you've got to take the chances when they come along. And that's what makes last night even more disappointing. Yeah. That, you know, we had that chance to go third. You know, I don't know if a Preston win today would take them into six. I know
goal difference.
We were 3 points, wasn't it? It's goal difference. So I don't know what the goal difference is.
It's like two, isn't it, or something?
Yeah, so you'd expect, yeah. So there's his eight. So they would go above us from that point of view. So a Preston win and we drop out of it. And, you know, you're then looking the other way again, where you're thinking, well, who's behind us? Can we still stay in the top six? It's a Wigan Preston as well today, so hopefully Wigan will do a favour. Come on, Andy.
Yeah, they've been doing all right. Sort
of. But I don't know, mate. It just, like you said, it will ruin my weekend now. You know, I'll write the fans column for the post shortly, and it just makes me, you think, bloody hell, another missed opportunity when 3 points off top would have been very nice. But
it would have been, mate. Right, let's try and keep these to sort of half an hour. Just quick look forward to the next Wednesday, Derby County. At home, obviously I'm massive Wayne Rooney fan. Really excited to see him. I think I might have seen him play for England when we played against Israel or something in 1-4-0, but apart from that, I can't remember a time where I've seen him in the flesh. Still got it, pinging those passes around, free kicks and all that sort of stuff. So excited to see him. But what's your expectations off the back of last night for that?
Well, I think changes, like you. I mean, I've been lucky enough to see Wayne Rooney at Old Trafford a couple of times. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him. I think Derby are very hit and miss. They'll bring a fair following down, I would expect. But I think there will be changes. I would absolutely expect Naki Wells to start. I would expect Henriksen to start if he's got any kind of fitness, even if he's...
Who drops out for you, Vyman, do you think?
Vyman would drop out for me. Excuse me, yeah. I like Andy Vyman. I think his work rate's excellent, but you need more than that in that position. The goals have dried up a little bit for him. For me, I would put Pato wide and bring in Naki to play up alongside.
And that might be what Vyman needs is just to be dropped. A bit of a kick at the ass. Helps and throws people on, doesn't it?
It'd be an interesting one. And, you know, I've said about Nathan Baker and Ashley Williams, whether he will look to bring in the Leicester lad, because he does look a ball player, does look to bring it out. You know, whether he would consider dropping either Ashley, probably not Ashley, more likely Nathan, I would think. But
I can't see. For me, I'd keep Baker and Williams.
It wouldn't surprise me. I think, you know, again, midfield-wise, I would expect it to be Corey and Henriksen. If not, as the way Lee's been doing it, it will probably be Nash and Hannah will drop.
So, Corey and Henriksen in the middle for me. Yeah. And I would have Patterson on the right. Patterson on the left or right, really, and Eliasson on the left or right. It doesn't really matter for me which side they play.
No, absolutely, yeah.
And then Wells and Gigi up front. So classic 4-4-2, reset, back to basics, as we say, and, Hunt and De Silva left and right, go from there. I mean, start of the season, we were so excited about... Go on.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, we've got to improve our ball retention and passing as well. I think we give it away so easily. But yeah, it's those transitions. It's about moving the ball quicker. I don't want to see Ashley Williams and Nathan Baker having the most touches in the team. You know, it should be that they play it into Corey and whoever else. And then it's played out wide because they've got options out wide. Mm-hmm. Again, we were so easy to defend against. We just, Birmingham just sat there, cut off the wide ball, and we had no option. Instead, we were then trying little lobbed passes over the top, and you know, one came off that Pham should have.
That were often going too far.
But I'm positive, mate. I think that you know, if they go for that, Aki Wells looks good. He does look good. We know he is anyway. Yeah. But and I think we might. Let's get a win, mate.
What about just very quickly to finish the start of the season? We were all so excited and thought the saviour has come in Thomas Kalas.
Yeah,
£8 million. And we haven't seen him for a month, and we've still got what, probably two of the best centre backs in the league.
Yeah, longer than that as well, isn't it, with his other injuries? He wouldn't be coming into the equation for me at the moment because of the form with the other two.
Do we know if he's on the road to fitness?
Is I believe fit? So, yeah. I think he came out yesterday and said that he's fit and able to play.
Right.
You kind
he's
of
not even on the bench.
Not on the bench, and you bring
in. And you've got Benkovic ahead of him, probably.
Yeah. You don't know again whether anything's been agreed between the clubs that, you know, he's got to be a bit like the Liverpool Ryan Kent thing. You'd like to think
wouldn't
entertain with that, but it may be that they've had to sign and make a commitment with something like that. But you'd like to think Kalas, your record signing, is going to be on the bench. And again, you know, the way that Lee is, he may very well do that. He may very well bring Kalas and Williams together. I don't think they're the best partnership. I think Nathan Baker gives you that kind of physicality and the challenge and that little bit of an extra edge to it. But I don't know, mate. We'll have to wait and see.
Cool. All right. Well, has been a good science experiment. We'll see if we can maintain it, whether it's after the game, after the BBC Radio Bristol phone in, or the following day. But yeah, it just gives us a bit more time to talk about things and try and put the world to rights. So,
absolutely.
Cheers for your time, mate, and try and have a good weekend, all right?
Yeah, you too, Clash. Take a steady car.
Cheers. Bye. Bye, everyone.